We have Carsten Wade, who is going to finish up with talking about the open source way, creating and nurturing communities of contributors. And Carsten has been doing an amazing job of collecting from all corners of the open source community the stories, the lessons, the teachings of how open source works and grows. And it's a real thrill to see this information being distilled into a form that can be shared and can be further improved. So, Carsten, I'd like you to take us out with your thoughts on the open source way. And again, I want to remind people that if you have questions, you can submit them via the chat window and we will read them out. You can participate that way. The audio and the slides for all of these presentations and sessions will be available at the conclusion of the webcast. And for those of you who can make it to Boston June 22nd through 25th, some of the top open source leaders will be there in the flesh as opposed to just on a virtual webcast. It's a great opportunity to see the open source community for real. But until then, Carsten, tell us about the open source way.
Great. Thanks, Michael. So the open source way, as Michael said, is an accumulation that's become a handbook, started out as a project and is now an open community project. And it's appropriate, I think, for us to finish today by talking about that handbook because it works on wrapping up the open source way into a guide that can be used in many domains other than technology. Because that's one of the reasons for talking about open source in that way, saying that it's more than a methodology that's just for software development, is to give an opportunity to see it be applied in other areas. And also in talking about the open source way as the methodology more than just the book, I want to mention that it definitely is hard in some cases, and in many cases it could be easy, but it is always really worth it. And for example, today's Open Your World Forum, we ended up using a closed service to do the presentation from a vendor instead of researching and coming up with an open source solution. And this happens because Red Hat is an enterprise, as many other people are, and sometimes it's hard to make the choice for open source when you can't spread thin enough to handle every battle that you come across. But you learn and improve and take the opportunities to improve every time. And so the next time that we run an Open Your World Forum or a similar work from opensource.com, we'll make sure to come back together and work on getting actual open source solutions. And this reaches in, there's a chapter from the book, and that's what I'm going to end up talking about today in detail. It's chapter 3.2.13 that says use lightweight open collaboration tools, wikis and mailing lists and IRC and version control and bug trackers specifically from open source, and give out access. So the section reads, the tools you start with here are not always going to be open source. Sometimes you are stuck accepting non-free and open source software solutions in pursuit of a goal you put higher. Be aware that if you choose a non-open solution, you incur additional risk for whatever opportunity you're trying to capture. Make sure that a move to fully open tools is part of your roadmap for the project. These are the parts you cannot compromise, or eventually they will be the downfall of your openness and transparency. So it was interesting for me that we continue to use this handbook for ourselves at Red Hat on a regular basis because it's useful that way. And just like the open source software solutions that we make to put in the world, this kind of open content solution that is and can be developed by a community and from the experiences of that community, it's something that by spreading it beyond just ourselves, we're going to gain back many thousands fold from it, as are everyone else. I'm going to go to the next slide, please. So what is the Open Source Way, the book? And it's a book that came out of the process of teaching leaders in the open source way. And it is derivative. It pulls together the experiences of the many people that we know from the Fedora project and from the many other open source projects that Red Hat is a contributor in, participant from, starter for. And the methods of the open source way are more than just for software. So, for example, the open source way is used in the production of this book. It's written by a community under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license so that the content remains free for any to use. So this includes rebranding or commercial use and the whole lot. Anybody can take the book and they can put their logos on it. They can take out and highlight only the parts that are important for their particular purpose, and it helps them show other people that this is something that is a methodology that has been useful and successful in these other venues, and it might be useful and successful for them. And so that's why when I talk about the open source way, and I try to help other people make this distinction, that there is the open source way, the title of the book, and then there's the open source way, lowercase. And in talking today, I'll try to distinguish between the two, because it can be a little confusing. And in general, the two are interchangeable. The idea is that within the book, there will be a section or a node that addresses every kind of situation that comes up in applying the open source way. That gives you a principle and a way to do things and an example of why it works. So, in particular, as an example, this is a self-evident proof in the book of itself, is that it's by being written using the methodology, and there's no code involved, it's just basic straightforward writing, but it's being done by following the methodology as closely as possible so that it's a self-referential proof about the success of using the methodology. And then that helps make more sense to other people when they see how that's done, and then they can apply that to different domains of expertise, like business and law and government, education, design, engineering, and so forth. Next slide. We're on slide 3, please. So first of all, it's a handbook, and it's a book that provides a specific way of presenting each point. So the idea is to make it immediately understandable and useful. When we started out, we originally thought of it as a cookbook applying recipes. That doesn't translate really well. Some people, when you try to get that internationalized, it's not going to make as much sense. Handbook is a lot more straightforward. And ultimately, each section is relatively small, between 3 to 9 paragraphs, a couple sentences each at the most. First of all, it provides a principle, which is the what. This is the topic of each section. The implementation, which is how you go about using the principle in your efforts. And the example shows why the principle matters or works, with the proof rooted in something that really happened. And if anybody's interested in taking a look at the book while we're talking, I didn't mean to hide the URL anywhere in here, but it is available at theopensourceway.org, all together, and then /wiki to see the interactive wiki, or /book to see a branded version of the book done with the Red Hat brand. Let's go on to next slide, slide 4, please. So the book is created by those who know, and this is something that Michael alluded to in his introduction, which is that what I've really been doing is a nice church project of going around and talking to people, basing off my own experience. I've been involved in open source for about 10 years now, and a lot of times I've been fortunate to spend in doing open source and educating and mentoring other people on how to do open source better. So I'm constantly exposed to these kind of situations and stories around them. And so the experiences come directly from myself, members of my team, who've been leaders in Fedora and leaders in other communities, directly from Fedora contributors. But ultimately, we're influenced by and speaking for those thousands of open projects out there. Red Hat has a very nice ability to filter in that information, because many of those people might be now or have been or will be in the future employees of Red Hat. But it's through also those social relationships and the ability to go out and see the other good works that people are doing. And then in the end, we're building on the work of other books that exist. So, well, that's standing on the shoulders of giants. So let's go to next slide, please. No, we're on slide 5. So it is lightweight. And as I said, there are many good books that are out there. They give a good in-depth understanding of why you want to follow the open source way. So an example of this is Producing Open Source Software by Carl Fogel and a few others. And that's a great handbook. It's particularly focused on starting open source projects. So in order for you to think about how to apply that to an open marketing project or an open design project, you would have to read the entire book and then mentally make all the cross-mapping to your experience and what you're planning on doing. So the idea of writing out the open source way is to do that mapping for you, to make things a little more generic so you have the opportunity to remap it back to your personal experience. So because this handbook is a distillation, it can stand on the shoulders of all those other works out there, and basically that's the power of the reference works really nicely here. In addition, the community leadership is a community of practice, and one of the important aspects of a community practice is that it takes the knowledge in the heads of practitioners and turns it into knowing via writing it down. So this is turning it into a knowledge organization, but making sure that is something that can be passed on to other people. And so, again, the book becomes self-referential by being that way, by following this methodology and then writing everything down. We'll go to the next slide, please. Of course, I've got to get myself to the next slide. That'll be really helpful. And it, the book is also incomplete on purpose, and that's actually one of the points in the book, which is to say, when you're working on an open source project or any open collaboration project, when people arrive to look at your project, if they see that there is a huge task list and nobody assigned to it, or they don't see a task list at all, which tells them somebody else is taking care of it, they don't have to care, or they see a task list where there's a huge number of things and everybody's assigned to them, there's very few things for them to do, they don't really see a place for them to fit. So there's not exactly a magic number in here, but there's a range within an idea that says that you want to show people everything that you've got that needs to be done. You want to assign as much of that as possible, but not too much, because you want to leave room for people to come in and say, oh, that's something I can do, and give themselves a chance to jump in. So that's just about encouraging participation and lowering those barriers, but especially lowering the mental barriers for people. So in particular, the Open Source Way book, it's really short on examples. And I've chose that one in particular on purpose to make it short of, because the principles are the key, and making sure that those are written down. How you apply the principle, those implementations, those are important, and I've been filling those ones out as I go. But the examples, if I were to fill out the examples, they'd all be about open source software. So pretty quickly, our book that's supposed to be generic and allow you to map it to your own world experience would be filled with all of these experiences and stories that would not allow you to easily do that mapping. So by leaving the examples open, the idea is that other people are going to be able to come in and fill those stories. And then that forces us to look beyond our regular technology experiences to other venues. And in fact, to some of the same stories that I've been listening to today, I'm glad I was taking careful notes, because I'll be making sure that some of those end up as examples of why to follow the open source way. Okay, next slide, please. I'm on slide 7 for those like me who regularly lose track. So the opensourceway.org/wiki is the upstream. So the upstream is a concept that from free and open source software, and the idea is that you think of a project in the way you think of water that you get from up the stream. Especially if you're going to be drinking with it, it's worth a trip up there to see how things are working. You may want to check it more often, or actually station a person up there regularly if the water is important enough for you. You want to know how your watershed is going. And in open source software, the idea is that an upstream project is where you get the source code from. They're the people who are in charge of the direction of that project. If you want to influence it, you work with them. If you want to provide fixes, you work with them. And a Linux distribution such as Fedora and Red Hat Enterprise Linux are an accumulation of many thousands of packages of software that are from these upstream projects. So we have a lot of experience in working with upstreams, and knowing that the value of doing that and what can go wrong when you don't do it correctly. So I'm taking that same kind of experience and extending it across to how we're doing this community documentation and open collaboration on writing out how to do this methodology. So the handbook is then put together with the open source way and by following its own precepts and being self-referential. So, for example, we chose MediaWiki because it is an open, extensible tool that is lightweight and many people are familiar with it. The slide makes references to a couple chapters. Chapter 4 that says choose open tools that can be extended. Chapter 3 says use lightweight open collaboration tools. I've referenced that one before. And in particular, MediaWiki, it happens to be one that many people are familiar with. It already has an existing culture of a low barrier to entry. People go there and expect to have an ability to edit or gain edit really easily. So it allows us to stand on top of all of the processes and experience and culture and everything that's grown up around Wikipedia and MediaWiki. We can basically say, do everything like they do it on Wikipedia except these three or four different ways. So this is similar to how we package software for Fedora, for example, or Red Hat Enterprise Linux, is we package pristine software that comes from the upstream, and if we're positive that something has to be changed, we try not to be, but if we're positive that something has to be changed here, we apply that as a patch that's within the package, and then we work really hard with the upstream to either get our code accepted or another method accepted as a way to achieve the same end. So then by by applying those same principles to the book, the idea is that we don't force people to have to fork it to do their own things with it or whatever, that they've got a very reasonable method of getting what they need out of the experience of working with the book, of reading into it, of writing into it. And then just as we get a very nice experience by using MediaWiki as a tool and standing on top of their processes and learning everything from them. So, and I often actually point to Wikipedia as the standard for lower barriers, and I've often suggested it to K-12 teachers as a way to teach classrooms how to do open collaboration, because it makes it really easy for people to get together and create and share content that way. So by buying into that, we're hoping that the idea is again to practice the open source way in a self-referential way in writing the book. Go to slide 8, please. So the question comes in: why would you care, or why does anybody really want to care? If you're not, there's many people are focused on the benefits they get from using open source software. But why go the next step to actually being a contributor? And in this case, you appreciate the benefits that you get from buying from a company that uses the open source methodology to make really good software, but you're not so sure that you want to apply that to your experience, or you're sure maybe you do, but how are you going to explain that to somebody else? So the idea is that this book is one that you can add to and build on for your own community needs. And so that can even be internal community when you're trying to explain why you're using open source methodologies. One of the best places that I've seen outside of Red Hat that practices these methodologies thoroughly is Google. And I've been at their headquarters and I've seen how they work, how they make information available to developers, and they teach people in using the open source methodology, and going out to the real world and helping teach college students how to do that through some of code programs and all of these sort of things. This handbook fits right in there in terms of providing filling the niche of giving you something you can hand to somebody and say, here's the reference when you're trying to tell people why it is we do things. You can do more than just say, oh, that's because Red Hat does it. That's because IBM does it, and Intel and Google, all those people do it. That's why you need to do it. But here's the particular stories that explain it. And for people like me who are always talking about these things, and people like Michael and people like Jeremy who are going and evangelizing about this, it gives them a place to say the things that they're having to say over and over without having a reference work. Many of us know it's nice to have a canonical location you can point to and that says this is where the information is always available about all of these points. And in this case, it's the place it's about how to conduct the open source way. So if you want to see the open source way practiced in any domain, and that was one of the important things that we came into doing this book was we'd really been studying how communities of practice worked, how people within companies, within academic organizations, within nonprofits, within governments, within communities, just like church communities and farming communities and so forth, and how people had organized themselves and their information. We could see that to an extent what we were talking about with the open source way was really just, and to some degree, was another way of restating the barn-raising ideals or many other open community ideas that people have practiced in the past. So it becomes really useful to have the single brand that we can put it under, and it's open source, and people have an idea what that means. But if we don't want that to be boxed, have people think, okay, open source equals software, and that's it. So the open source way gives us an opportunity to try to get people out of that box and thinking about how they can apply this to whatever domain that they are in. And sometimes you can't. I've had a number of discussions with Richard Fontana, who was on here earlier, because I'm really interested in seeing how the legal community does their work, and I want to see how their community goes and how all the people are interested in doing free and open work and that kind of thing. But there's some particular reasons why the culture and the methods of that community don't allow them to have a free and open discussion in the same kinds of ways that I can in other domains. So it's important to understand and respect those differences when you're within there, and that's why it's important that this book is more generic and doesn't cause people to stick themselves mentally inside of it, equally only one thing and not being applicable to their own domain. But ultimately, if this book doesn't have what you need for it, it is open for collaboration. It doesn't have, we don't have a, basically allow anybody who wants to come in and edit to edit. It's not it's not trying to build upon the ideas of proving that you need to have expertise before you can contribute an idea to the discussion. It's just that your idea needs to be worthwhile, and that's the ultimate line. That's the ultimate line we want to make sure that everything that gets into the book has to cross, and that it's worthwhile being there. And it's work done in an open way so that it can be built upon. It's done and it's done with licensing that allows you to work and rebrand it. So if you looked at it and said, this chapter and this chapter would be really useful for me to show a couple things to people inside of my organization, then you can take just those chapters, rebrand it for yourself, and use it in that way. And you're free to do that as it is right now without having, other than giving attribution back to the original authorship, there's no other requirements on it. So we're trying to, and I think we're successfully applying the concept that if we free something, instead of being afraid of the possible negative consequences that might come from that, we open up a whole world of possible positive consequences that will come from it. And but ultimately, I guess the idea is that it needs to serve your needs first. So that's the main reason why we did it, for example, is that at Red Hat we have new people coming all the time. We have people come in with years of experience in very similar industries, and it's useful for them to have a book that helps them map their experiences and their stories that they've happened before to this potentially new way of doing things. And that one actually brings me to my last slide on number 9, which is just to say that you are encouraged to read, you're encouraged to pass it on, you're encouraged to write, to get an account and make changes, and especially put in examples and good stories that demonstrate why it is that the open source way, this particular principle was applicable, help me add more principles that are missing. And any existing wiki user can create an account for you, so just ask for details on the front page of the wiki. And this presentation is available at that URL. So that's it. Are there any questions from the floor?
Hey, Karsten, thank you very much. This is Michael Thiemann. The topic is obviously one near and dear to my heart, and there are lots of ways that I can see the open source way really growing and maturing. One of the things that I believe is that as businesses really start taking issues like best practices and governance seriously, and also self-evaluation, there are processes that companies go through to try to document what they're doing. And I think that by incorporating, if a company really wants to be serious about doing open source, they should document their open source policies, procedures, beliefs, and then have a mechanism of pushing those ideas into the open source way. I'll give you one particular example of something which maybe I should help feed into it. When the Congress in 2008 passed a law that the government would have to fully and transparently account for every dollar spent by the civil department within a year. And I presented this, the text of the law, to a bunch of government folks at a conference in the state capitol, and the audience actually started laughing because they just said, oh, yet another unfunded mandate, yet another absolutely impossible thing. But it turned out that this project, which is now known as data.gov, it was called usaspending.gov before that, actually finished within 6 months. And what I perceived as one of the key reasons that they were so able to be successful is because they had a policy for how everybody on the team was going to collaborate and cooperate. All content was going to be under a free documentation license. Open source software would be preferred, especially for any systems that needed to be shared. And with a couple of very clear, what they called IPR guidelines, they never found themselves in a situation where one group could not cooperate with another group because they couldn't share information or they couldn't share systems. And the way that I see this as relevant to the open source way is that companies are constantly developing experiences, both positive and negative, as they implement software, as they implement policies, et cetera, and the open source way represents an opportunity for people to really share what they're doing it becomes a way that companies can teach themselves from their own experience instead of forgetting everything and then repeating the mistakes.
Exactly. That's a great example, and I think I'm going to make sure, I'm pretty sure you have an account for the wiki so you can start adding some of your great stories to the great stories page, but we'll make sure afterwards that you do so you can do that. Because that's the benefit that we've learned from the software side, that by having a common upstream location that we can push our best software experiences, our best code into, then we don't have to hang out and maintain it. We gain the benefit of the community of people to help maintain it. And in the process of pushing it from our own internal or direct need to something that thinks about and considers and works for the real world and is then ultimately tested by the real world, is we actually get something that's a lot more robust and a chance to reflect back on ourselves. And I had this experience in terms of writing the book, that the very first draft of it was written for Red Hat people only. And in the process of going through it and making sure that it didn't have any proprietary information or anything else, you know, non-disclosable information, I mean, in particular. And it really didn't, but just the process of going through that and thinking, okay, I've got to take this from a Red Hat audience and from this voice to an audience, to the whole world, to take a look at how we're doing these processes, then it gave me a chance to reflect and strengthen some of the writing around it before I even had to go out, a chance to get out the door. And so that then gives a team of people who are working on something like that, who are documenting their policies, that kind of check that we all get on the code side, which is many people are going to be looking at this. I'm going to look at it one more time and make sure that I'm not going to be embarrassed by what's out there, make sure that the logic fits together, and at the same time know that if I put something out there quickly or I put something out there that has some flaws or difficulty, people are going to feel free to show me where it is and help me correct that, and I'll be able to gain from that. So I don't have to think about all possible futures and all possible ramifications of what I'm doing. Just make sure that it meets the needs of what it's matching right now and makes a good stab at being good for the rest of the world, and know that the rest of the world will come along later and need that and say, oh, here's how you can make it a little better for me without making it any worse for you.
Right. There's a question that's coming from online, and I'm not quite sure I'm getting the sense of the question right, but I believe what the question is essentially asking is whether the open source way is purely a high road vehicle that never says anything bad about anything, or whether some of the teachings of the open source way does look critically at approaches and points out the deficiency of other approaches.
Because I hear that as two parts of a question. So the first part being, the first part that I was hearing was that does the open source way look at itself in only a positive way, or is it critical of its own self?
No, I think it's, does the open source way look at open source projects as only positive, and or does it fail to take on the question of fail?
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, the very first principle in the chapter of all of the things that we know to do and we tend to forget to do, which is why we're writing them down in the chapter, so we always remember. Oh yeah, the very first one is embrace failure, and in particular, that is a theme that comes up again and again within the open source way, and not just as the book, but as people practice it. Which is, I think it was a speaker earlier today, or Kim, was saying that if you're not failing, you're not pushing hard enough, you're not trying enough to make a difference and to actually move things. So in particular, the book attempts to tell some of those failure stories and to show how the improvements were made. And I would say that from my perspective, there have been small failures in the processes of just making the book, and all those are pretty much out there for the people to see, and I might blog about them and so forth, because those experiences are things to learn from. And if there's something in there that's worth putting in the book, I certainly would.
Great. Let's see. Another thing about the book, I noticed that a lot of the focus of the descriptions relate to organization and leadership, not so much about participation, how to be a good participant or how to join another open source project. Is that something which is planned, or is that a bad reading of the table of contents on my part?
That's a good question. I think that the basic idea is that when you show people what needs to be done and you ask for their help, they will come in and do things. Not everybody, but people who want to do something or interested will. And so the book does tend to focus on organization because it's important to create that scaffolding that people can participate in. I guess the way I liken it is that you can't, if you're interested in doing a barn raising, and I don't think any of us have actually experienced a barn raising other than things like it, but I made a help make a playhouse once with somebody using the barn raising theory. But when you don't call everybody together from moment zero with a big wide open space and a pile of lumber on one side and some bags of cement on the other and say, okay, we're going to start digging the foundation, let's go, and everybody's together and that's the barn raising. What actually happens is you and a few other people have to do a lot of that infrastructure work, have to dig the foundation and pour it, have to provide the subfloor, maybe pre-build all the walls that everyone's going to raise. And then on the day of the actual barn raising, everyone gets together and has a big party and dances around like on Seven Brides and Seven Brothers, and they pull the walls up and put the roof on and all that, and that's really exciting, right? And people all want to get together on that, but if the organization hadn't been there in the first place, then everybody would have gone there and walked around in an empty field scuffing their toes saying, gee, how are we going to ever get this done? So the idea is that when you properly organize something, when people get there, for the most part, they'll know what to do and know how to act. You can trust people are socialized, right? And secondary, I don't think we would want to ever really try to write down, except for a very, very, very high-level set of guidelines on how to participate in the open-source community, because they're basically things like, you know, be nice and that kind of thing. And there are actually a couple of sections in the book that do say that they, you know, remember the rules you learned when you were young, don't run with scissors and that kind of thing, like be nice to people. excuse me. But in general, you get into some difficulties. Different groups of people have different different cultures in the world are going to have different ways of interacting. Like if I went up to some people from Brooklyn that I know when I went to NYU and I told them to be nice to each other, they'd say, we are being nice to each other. And they turn around and continue to talk in a fashion that, to my California ears, did not sound like they were nice to each other. So I don't know that I can make a rule that would, other than just be nice. You know, so I think that's one of the reasons why it focuses much less on that individual experience and how to act in a community, because most people know how to do it already.
Right. Well, maybe one of the places we can get that information, one of the earlier speakers this morning, Matt Jadu, talked about introducing freshmen to open source and their bewilderment about how to join an open source project, because with only 14 weeks in a semester, the idea of actually organizing and executing an open source project is a little out of the realm. But in any event,
Can I just make one comment on the on the end of that one? There's another book that I've been involved in working on, which is a textbook that's come out of the teachingopensource.org group, which is a practical open source software exploration textbook. That's what's called practical open source software exploration. And in particular, that book was written for computer science students, first year students, and it goes over many of the basic principles of how to get involved in an open source project directly from a computer science perspective. But it's written in a way that someone could come along and rewrite it for an open marketing or an open design experience. And I've actually talked with some other people about doing that. So what I would say is that I think that's a topic for another book. And I think this other book or books like it are probably the way to cover that one for sure. And because I'm not sure that I would be afraid of handing this book to a fresh person from, you know, first year college student, because I think most of it would be not what they were looking for when it came to answering the question of how do I get involved.
Gotcha. Okay. Are there any thoughts you want to leave us with, or shall we begin the process of closing?
Well, let's see. I think that what do I want to leave us with? I think I've said most of the things that there are out there. I really encourage. The main thing is that for the people who are interested in, who are writing about open source, who are talking to people about the methodologies, who will want to apply the open source way and what they're doing, this book really needs to be a reference point for you. There really needs to be a way that you can use it so that you can point back to people in discussions and say that, you know, this is the here's the handbook, and this is why we do it that way. So I encourage you to look at it, to see how it fits for your needs. If you feel like it's not any way that it falls short, please contact us. There's some contact information on there. I'm available at kwade, K-W-A-D-E, at redhat.com. And that's it.
Great. Thanks a lot, Carsten. So, we've covered a lot of ground today. We started at 8:45 in the morning on East Coast time, and now it's a little bit after 5 o'clock. And we have collected the audio sessions. We've collected the slides. These will be available. And as the first opensource.com Open Your World Forum, on behalf of all the folks who did all the work of bringing these speakers together, it's been an absolutely fascinating group of perspectives. Obviously, opensource.com is about taking the principles of open source and expanding them beyond just software into the other major categories of life and law and fun, government, education, etc. And so with respect to the mission of opensource.com, of holding that conversation, we've obviously had a lot of blog postings since launching the site in January. This is our first attempt to make it all real time. And a lot of the folks who were participants today have been participants in other Red Hat events. We've got the summit coming up in Boston, June 22nd through the 25th. And I will be there. A number of the speakers will be there. And it's an opportunity to have yet another way of learning about and discussing and improving open source. So I will leave it. I'm sure that you will get all the information you need from the site about how to stay in touch. We've been publishing an increasing amount of content from contributors to our to opensource.com, and if some of the conversations today inspired new ideas or new insights in your mind, contact the relevant editors with your new ideas and see if you get the experience of having an article posted on opensource.com. Thank you very much, and have a great day.